Hey guys, it's Brianna, and I am joined by my friend and co-host, Christina.
Hi everyone.
And you are listening to Oh Brother,
your favorite Big Brother podcast.
Listen as we discuss all of the alliances, backdoors, and twists you love to watch. We're back, finally, after seeing an episode of Big Brother in fucking August. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, a quick recap. Christina is on vacation, so we have Shauna, my roomie,
hello,
here to chat Big Brother. We just watched the premiere last night, so we're excited to chat through everything. We're going to start with the premiere, and then we'll go through the house guests individually. I guess pre-premiere, we did find out on social that there was going to be a mystery 17th house guest, which sent Twitter spiraling. There were a lot of theories going around.
Excuse me?
Sorry, X. Thank you. I refuse to call it that.
Thank you. It sent X spiraling.
Did you notice that they've already changed retweet to say repost now?
No, I haven't noticed
much. It's real sad. TweetDeck is still a thing, though, so we'll see if...
What is TweetDeck?
TweetDeck is for, like, social media people to schedule, like, stuff in advance.
XDeck kind of sounds cooler.
It still says TweetDeck. And if you go to twitter.com, the URL doesn't redirect to x.com, but if you go to x.com, it redirects to twitter.com.
I did notice
that. Which
is
backwards. Like, if he's trying to go with x, you should be redirecting to x.com.
Yeah.
So we'll see how long that lasts. But anyways, mystery 17th house guest. I had said maybe Danielle or Brittany, just because I didn't want it to be Frankie, and they appeared in that little preseason teaser thing. But again, I feel like that was also a sure way to know that they weren't the ones going in. And then everybody was spiraling, saying it was Sari, because her son is on, obviously.
Homst.
Sari from Survivor. And I was hopeful that it would be her, but I thought there was no chance. And clearly I was proven wrong, but we'll get to that later. Who did you... You said who? Derek X, right?
Yeah, my go-to is Derek X. I just wanted, like, a classic fan favorite. Like, I didn't really care about game. Obviously, I'd take, like, Dan or Will or Derek or someone. But come on. If it had to be, like, one person coming back in, I like when they bring, like, the dopey, like, person that everyone loves. Like, when they brought James back. It's like, no one really... I guess James was good, but, like, no one really cares that much. You just want someone that they want on their TV.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like that's a... solid guess in general. Like, fan favorites are always like an easy one to throw in, because even if their gameplay is shit, like, it doesn't matter. And Derek X also was decent, I feel like, at the game. He just got screwed over by the whole cookout thing.
Yeah, you need someone who goes into the house that wouldn't have a huge target, like, it's mm-hmm. just likable enough that they stand a chance at not just going home.
Somewhere in between, like, fan favorite and gamer, where it's like everybody likes them and they're decent at it, but they're not going to go in and everyone's going to be like, we have to get this bitch out.
Exactly. But instead we got Cersei.
We got Cersei, the Greek goddess. But we'll get to her later. So they played this time laser clip again with the BB multiverse, which we had already seen on social. And, like, I didn't realize it was going to be in the episode, but I guess I should have known. And I had already seen the first 3 minutes that they shared, like, a few hours before the episode. So I feel like I watched, like, 20% of the episode before it even aired, which is kind of annoying. But I guess I did it to myself.
Yeah, I don't think they needed to share the entire laser clip thing. I don't know. Just a teaser would have been fine.
Yeah. And then if anything, point to it on your socials so people can watch the full thing.
But it was, like, also way too long of a clip, unless it does turn into part of a comp. Like, I just feel like I didn't need to see the laser hit every single room.
And a lot of people on Twitter were saying, now that we know who the 17th house guest is, like, it was just unnecessary for them to bring those three back into the house.
Yeah.
Like, why? And I was, like, happy to see them. Like, it was a fun little moment. But, like, A, like you said, it didn't need to be that long. And B, like, if nothing in the future has anything to do with those three house guests, like, there was no reason to put them in there.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if there was just a weird scheduling conflict and they couldn't make the other BB25 special. And they were like, oh, we have something else for you.
Yeah, it's very strange. Especially because Danielle and Frankie were featured in the special, but Brittany wasn't. And everybody was like, well, why did they fly her out just for that. Yeah. So that's why I think more people were speculating that she was going to be the 17th house guest than the other two, because mm-hmm. they were like, well, why would they bring her all the way there just for that like cute little clip and not put her in the special? But that didn't happen. So the other thing that I mentioned while we were watching it, which is kind of more preseason than like the actual premiere, was that people keep calling the competitions challenges for some reason, and it's bugging me. A couple of their interviews, like I think Matt was one that kept saying that he's a fan of the show, but then he was referring to the competitions as challenges, and I was like, okay, well that just means you aren't actually a fan, because nobody would call it that. But then Julie called it that in the episode, and someone else called it a challenge too. So then I was like, maybe I'm just missing out on some change or some, like, I don't know, something that's going on. I feel like I'm in the multiverse.
I don't know.
A separate timeline where we called them competitions and not challenges.
When you first said it, it made sense. But later on, Julie did say, like, competition or comps a couple times.
And yeah.
I was like, maybe it's always just been
interchange.
All three words.
Yeah, interchangeable. So I guess we can jump into like the actual premiere. They did their typical intro packages in the beginning and then bringing in the groups for the competitions. You guys know, you watched it. And they split up into like the four groups, which I had a feeling they were going to do, because that's typically what they've done in the past when they're trying to drag these competitions out for an hour and a half. The colors were interesting. They did pink, green, yellow, and blue. And there were the theories on Twitter preseason that people were like, there's a pink team and a blue team. So at first when I saw like pink and blue.
There's only so many colors. What are these theories?
Well, the preseason theory was because certain people were wearing pink and certain people were wearing blue, that the house was going to be split into two teams. So then when I saw that pink and blue were two of the four colors, I was like, is this related somehow? But then the other colors didn't go with this bonkers theory. So
yeah.
I think it's just because pink and blue seems to be, you know, the Big Brother standard logo colors.
Exactly.
And like the time laser was like the pink and blue. So I'm like, they probably just forced them to wear that color scheme. But everybody was like, oh my God, there's going to be two teams. There's someone named Red. There's someone named Blue. You know,
I think
how
straws
spiral.
Are being grasped. I don't think.
I mean, that's what I thought about Ceri too. And then she ended up there. So who knows? Also we talked about, I'm kind of jumping around now, but we talked about the little bank teller situation in the last episode. And they released a house tour where Julie brought it up, and she said it's just like, she said it's our way of communicating with the house guests, which I guess means production / Big Brother's way of communicating with them, which seems very unnecessary to me.
I feel like it has to be part of the plot, because otherwise they just have that little robot voice that tells them to shut up or whatever.
Right. I'm like, it must be that, you know, it like lights up at a certain time or when it's unexpected. And then
maybe it's going to tell them when they're toggling between multiverses or something. No, but they have those lit up orbs.
Oh, yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah, that was an interesting little feature too, the like scramble of it all. I did see a funny tweet and somebody was like, what are these names? Like, you could tell we're in a writer's strike because what the fuck is a femaleverse and stuff.
That was actually the only one I liked.
Yeah, and I was like, that one's fun. I'm like, scramble verse doesn't really make sense. Scary verse, boring. And I don't even remember what the other one was. Comic verse.
Oh,
so lame.
Duh.
So lame. That's the lamest one. Comic verse. Oh, before we get to like the groups, America went in first.
She sure did.
And Matt held the door for her.
Yeah, she kind of got forced into it.
So
she's been watching since, I think she said she was 10 or season 10.
Yeah, that's what she says. But then I'm like, do you watch feeds / are you on Twitter? Because if you're not, you might not know about the first in the door thing.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't even know that till like after
More
season
recently.
20 something.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, did Matt know, or was he just being a gentleman and holding the door for her? I feel like probably the latter.
Yeah. I think anytime you walk through a doorway with people right behind you, it'd be Your wild
instinct.
To step back, walk yourself through, and hold it open.
Yeah.
I think your reflex is just to hold it. But also, I would try to get there first so I could hold the door.
I was going to say, what would you do? Like, if you were put in the position where somebody opened the door for you, what would you do?
Oh, I would embarrass myself on live TV for, like, true fans watching it would know if you stepped back.
I would hesitate,
why.
For
like,
sure.
Like, they might make fun of you, but they're going to be like, I would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I would, too.
Yeah. I'm not going through.
Uh-uh.
I'm pushing someone else.
Yeah, no. The only person who's ever broken that curse, if you will, was Tamar, and it doesn't even count because it was Celebrity Big Brother.
So, yeah, like, I was like, who?
That does not count in the Big Brother multiverse, if you will.
Although I would like something to blame. So maybe true. I would go through first.
Because then you're like, well, if it doesn't work out,
it was never my fault.
But if you knew that going in, then yeah. It was your fault.
Well,
you could blame Matt if he held the door. So they go in and they separate into their little groups. And this one was interesting because they were given the color, but then they sort of had like a split second decision to choose which competition to go to. And it was interesting seeing who did what. Like, I think it was America when she first walked out, she bolted to the puzzle competition.
Yep.
And like clearly was in gamer mode right away. And then other people are still like chatting with whoever they came in with, kind of just like looking around confused. And then they get stuck with something that they probably don't want to be doing
or yeah.
isn't their skill set. Or they probably just had no clue what the competition was going to be. But I'm like, you can kind of get a vibe. Obviously, like the puzzle, you could tell was a puzzle. And if you know anything about Big Brother, like the hand one has got to be some kind of endurance thing.
Yeah.
And then the other two, like slime, I guess you wouldn't know like what you have to do to not get slimed. But you imagine it would have to be something.
A general sense of it being mind related.
Yeah. And then the foot one, I feel was very self-explanatory. Yeah. So it was just interesting to see who went for what thing. So the puzzle competition was first. And everybody on Twitter was like majorly rooting for Jared because they love Ceri. And then he was the first one on the block. I was like, yikes. That's embarrassing for you.
Almost as embarrassing as Mimi tripping in heels. Why did she not take those shoes off?
I don't know. I was like, girl. And like at first when she was running in them, I was like, this is impressive. Like, look at her go. And then she busted her butt when she got to the button.
Yeah, which I appreciate the commitment, but also like I would have kicked those off. She was running back and forth with the puzzle pieces. Uh-huh. It's not just like that last sprint was in heels. I didn't even think of that. I mean, she went back and forth at least like, I don't know, 3 or 4 times with the heels on.
And I guess once,
and still beat Jared?
Yeah. Once you're in it, I guess it's like you're probably like, oh, I don't want to take 10 seconds to like rip these heels off, but also like they're slowing you down so much. Yeah.
Like, didn't look like it had a back on them. They must have because they weren't falling off. But I thought, I was just like, you just flip your feet around and they're going to slide right off.
I was glad that she didn't get nominated. She was one of the ones that when I saw the cast reveal and watched like one of her quick videos before, I was like, she's either going to be a really good like strategic gamer social person or she's going to play too hard too fast. But I'm hoping for a gamer. So I was glad that she didn't end up nominated. I didn't want to see Jared nominated either, though.
Yeah.
Also, we should mention no HOH yet. They're doing it things backwards, which people compared it to Big Brother Canada. Usually we'll do a backwards week where they do everything in reverse order. So they were like, oh, maybe they're going to do that this time around where it'll be nominations, then veto, then HOH. So poor Jared. First one, he lost the puzzle comp, which, I mean, I think was the easiest of the... No, I think the slime one was probably the easiest.
The three that got it real quick.
Really quick. Then they did the boot competition, and Kirsten was struggling. She couldn't even, like, stay in the seat and, like, push the bar enough to get the boot to go all the way up and all the way down. I think that one, like, immediately you knew one of the girls was not going to win.
Yeah. But Blue stayed pretty close to Matt and there was another guy.
Cameron? No.
Who the hell is Cameron? Hyacinth.
Cameron's the stay-at-home dad with the hair.
Oh, yeah. Well, so much for me knowing all the names. But yeah, Blue stayed kind of like neck and neck with them. At the end, she was just tired really and knew she had like a 20-point lead, I'm sure, on Kirsten or whatever her name is. So Kirsten. She kind of just slowed down. But I was impressed.
Yeah, she did. She definitely held her own, especially at the beginning. I was like, okay, they're literally all three of them are like at the same amount. But it looked hard. I feel like I would go in being like, I'm just gonna do it. Like, you have no choice. Like, you have to just go for it no matter how much it hurts. But then you get like 20 kicks in.
I don't think those 3 pound weights at a bar class. Yeah,
my little skinny arms would get so tired. So Kirsten was the second nominee, and then we had the goo competition in my notes.
It was called Goopocalypse.
Goopocalypse, which Julie called Goopopolis or something like that. And I was really sad that Felicia lost that one.
She was too. Did you see her face?
I know. She also looked really sad when, in the beginning, before she went in the house, Julie was like naming the people and she started to walk and Julie was like, not yet. She was so like embarrassed. I was like, this poor little lady.
I can relate to that. But her and her Moo didn't make it through.
She hates pants, I've noticed. In her cast photo, she's wearing like a little Moo beach cover up situation. In her intro package, she's wearing multiple different dresses. Like, never a pair of pants.
Yeah. I guess it'll be interesting to see what she wears for like a wall comp or something like that as she progresses.
I think when I did watch a little bit of feeds, she had pajamas on and it was a matching set with like very flowy pants. So maybe she'll do a flowy pants.
Oh my God. I would be so hyped to pick out all my matching sets to bring into the Big Brother.
I know. I think about it far too often. Like the cute little outfits and like loungewear sets. My loungewear game would be.
Meanwhile, I would end up looking like Adam Sandler the entire season.
I mean, it's a look. It's a vibe. So poor Felicia also was nominated, and here I am thinking it's looking a lot like Camp Comeback. Did not look great optically, but
no. Someone said the multiverse was racist.
Yeah. I guess it's a little bit less bad in the sense that they were not nominated by someone else. They just lost a competition. Like, it was on them, but again, like, just doesn't look great. The final competition was the one where they had to hold on, and whoever lost was going to get pulled into, as people on Twitter were calling it, the nether region.
That was killing me. What was Julie calling it?
The Netherlands or something? Or the Nether?
Nevermore? I don't know.
Something like that. But everybody was calling it the Nether region.
That's so funny.
And I thought for sure Luke was going to lose it. He had one hand completely off.
Yeah, I think his hand stopped pulling. That's what I didn't like about that comp is like, I'm just taking your word for it that you're yanking them all equally. Mm-hmm. And also, like, is it equally or is it equitably? Like, shouldn't you be pulling at a certain, like, strength per pound?
Right, like you have to know how much they weigh, how tall they are, and kind of like math it out to figure out how much pressure you're putting on,
like, otherwise you're short, you're like getting yeeted a lot faster than like 7 foot tall Luke,
and little Corey is so tiny. Like, I was
small,
so
little boy, the big ass ego,
and they I mean, his intro package was a lot. He didn't mention his Zach connection either, which I thought was interesting, but I'm sure that will come up later because his brother was on Survivor for a hot second, which makes it even funnier that he was nominated in the first competition because Zach was first out, and he was tweeting about it and it was very funny. But yeah, I thought for sure it was gonna be Luke, which kind of makes me feel even more like it was sort of, when everybody says like the competitions are rigged, but
Helen,
I'm like,
was pushed.
Exactly. I'm like, Corey was pulled a little extra.
Corey was pulled. Helen was pulled. Pushed.
He's pulled a little extra because they knew they were bringing Sari in, and if anybody was going to pick up on it, it would probably be him. So they were like, let's hide him away for a little bit to like keep that under wraps.
The way they yeeted him back into the nether regions.
The poor guy. I was like, was there someone back there to catch him? Because he had no control. So yeah, first noms are Jared, Kirsten, Felicia, and Corey. My guess is that one of two things will happen. Either POV, two people can win and save themselves, or the HOH will have the power to remove two nominees from the block, and then they'll do a normal POV, and then the HOH can nominate someone, but that all depends what order they do the competitions in.
Yeah, I'd rather a POV where two of them get to save themselves.
Mm-hmm. Versus like an HOH having power to change it.
Yeah, because I don't think any HOH is going to want it, and they're just going to do it so diplomatically. That'd be cool later in the season, but this time around, so early on, you're probably going to have like a house meeting and then like take a vote, like, I don't know, and like try to make it so that there's no blood on your hands.
They always try to make it so like PG in the beginning where they're like, we're all gonna go together because we don't want to piss anyone off.
Later on you have like so many alliances that are all crossing that it'd be, I think, more interesting to watch that way.
Totally. Oh, I guess we kind of know the order of the competitions because then Julie said, Sunday will be the first HOH and you'll find out what happened to Corey. So I guess they're going to do HOH before Vito. So then we'll find out what their power is, if anything. Then Wednesday will be Vito and Thursday eviction like normal. And then at the very end of the episode, which I almost felt like because that Nether region competition went on for so long, that this part got rushed. It seemed like they didn't have enough time to like really give it its moment. But they all walked into the house and Sari from Survivor, aka Jared's mom, was there pouring champagne, which was very funny to watch because you could tell that the majority of them had no clue who she was, or maybe just thought she was there to like host a competition or something. Like, it wasn't the big wow factor that I think Big Brother hoped for. And it was very funny to watch Jared like freak out.
And he was he walked in first.
Yeah, he not know if he should hang back or go greet her. Like, he didn't know what to do. And then there was that split second moment during the credits rolling where Izzy and him were pinky promising and he was talking very furiously at her about something. And again, he's on the block, so I think this is a disadvantage for him because now people are going to say, well, if they find out, they're going to say, well, he has a connection already, so we need to get him out now.
Yep.
Or Sari works her magic and somehow makes it so that he can stay in the house. Or maybe he'll win a veto, who knows? But I think this is going to, if it comes out, put a big target on both of them. But for some reason, more so Jared than Sari. I guess just because he's in danger right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I was not expecting to see so early on a, like, hurried conversation in a hallway the way that you get, like, in between a double eviction or something.
It was wild. It was fun to watch, but again, I wish they had a couple more minutes to show the aftermath of that.
Because I'm like, we were just speculating. I don't know if you know more from watching feeds after, but we only speculated, like, how he grouped up with Izzy so quick. I'm like, did he quickly pick the least likely to be in alliance with and tell her real quick and try to get someone on a side, or did she look maybe between the two and like look at him and like point and he like yanked her off to the side? I'm like, I want to know like what happened.
Yeah, the only other thing that I picked up on during the episode was Felicia immediately went up to Sari and greeted her and seemed like she knew her, recognized her from Survivor.
Yeah, I feel like she almost cut in front of someone else who was like walking towards her.
Yeah, she was like, oh my, like she was like freaking out. But again, I don't necessarily think she made the connection between Sari and Jared, but she was more starstruck by seeing Sari in the house.
So I'm telling you could have the two of them in front of me for 30 days and I would not even start to think they were related.
Sean and I have had many conversations about how she's face blind, so I think that would contribute. But I also agree that like, unless you're really thinking about it, you probably wouldn't pick up on it. I'm assuming there are some Survivor fans, and those would be the people that would be more likely to pick up on it. I saw on Twitter, and again, I've never watched Sari on Survivor. I saw her on Traitors, and she was amazing. So I'm, like, really happy
to see
her.
Was she mean to my boy Cody?
Yes, but Cody loves her. Okay. So, like, I might have sent you on Twitter his reaction.
I saw the clip of Derek and Cody reacting to the Sari reveal, and then everyone's, like, kind of meme-esque posts about, like, Cody's reaction to it, and I was like, was she mean to him?
Are you ever going to watch it?
Traitors?
Yeah.
Hold off on telling me anything for now, because if I do end up liking Sari's game plan in here, I could see myself going back and watching. Yeah. But if I don't like her,
then you won't.
Yeah, then I won't go.
Okay, sure. So we'll save. We'll table that for later. But Cody's reaction was very wholesome.
Yes.
It was very like, ugh. It was also my reaction. Like, if you're curious how I reacted, it's exactly the way Cody reacted.
Oh, Sari's in the house.
Oh shit!
Sari's in the house.
Oh shit!
Wow.
Oh my.
Wow. God. That's your 17th house guest, bro.
Oh my God.
What?
Dude, the Twitterverse was right for once. I'm shocked right now. Bro, Cerise in the house.
Oh my God, bro. No way.
So before we get into like some feed stuff, because I did, like the chaotic human being I am, stay up until almost 2 a.m. watching feeds, which didn't come on until 12:30 Eastern time. So I had some time to kill between the premiere and then. We'll get into that later. But we can really quickly go through each person and kind of give our immediate first impressions if we have them. So first up was America Lopez. She's 27. She's originally from Edinburgh, Texas, but currently lives in Brooklyn. And she's a medical receptionist. My first impression of her preseason was, and I'm going to do this a lot, comparing people to previous house guests, just because like that's the basis we have to go on at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Looks-wise, she reminded me of Holly and Annalise, like mixed together. But after seeing her intro package, I was surprised that she said she went to Brown.
Yeah, I think she went for biology.
Not because I don't think she's smart, but because I'm just surprised she's a receptionist.
Yeah.
Which, like, no shade to receptionists, but if you went to Brown, I would think, especially for biology, that you'd be working in a lab somewhere.
It's probably harder to get a job as a scientist.
That's true. I mean, Kirsten did it. No shade.
True.
No shade, but... Other than that, I don't really have too much to say about America, other than I was impressed that she immediately went to the puzzle and was in game mode when she first went in.
Yeah, I liked her. Put her in the middle of the pack.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Blue Kim. She's 25, from Riverside, California, currently resides in New York City, and she's a brand strategist. Honestly, not much to say about her other than she beasted that competition, and she just gives me, like, cool Gen Z girl vibes.
Yeah, she's definitely like, and prefacing this with, I haven't watched feeds and I don't know if anyone's a psychopath, probably like in my top three right now.
Ooh.
Just from like the one episode.
Love that.
Something about her.
Yeah, I mean, she really impressed me with that competition in particular, so hopefully she keeps it up. And then we had Bowie Jane Ball. She's 45, although her age has been contested on Twitter. Apparently she is... This is not the first time she's lied about her age. Someone found an article where they did the math and it would put her at 47, but she's also told people she was 10 years younger than she is. She's telling people in the house she's a different age, so we don't really know how old this bitch is.
So she's a con artist.
Yeah, so she could be 45, she could be 47. The official age that CBS gave us is 45. She's originally from, as she would probably say it, Melbourne, Australia. But she currently resides in Los Angeles, California. She's a barrister / DJ. And on Twitter, everyone was comparing her to Weird Barbie. I can't unsee it. It's a bit of that and Pink mixed together. She's the first Aussie on the U.S. Big Brother, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I did have that thought after the BB25 special. They were talking about how you have to get used to having ants in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, she'll be fine. She's from Australia. Girl's seen everything.
Yeah, she's like,
she ants. Sleeps with spiders.
Check out the spiders that hang out in my room. Not like too much to say about her. I feel like she didn't really get much screen time. Not that many of them did.
Yeah, she's going to irritate the hell out of me.
Yeah, she seems like a big personality, which is sometimes good, sometimes not. Then we had Cameron Harding. He's 34, from Eastman, Georgia. He's the stay-at-home dad. And upon just seeing his photo, I was like, that is the less attractive dad version of Christian.
Yes. Hard agree.
But beyond that, I don't really have much to say about him just yet.
All I have to say is that he likes things that go boom. And he did get to play in Goopocalypse, which we thought was fitting.
Yeah, that was a very cool... I'm like, I wonder if somebody from production was like, pick that one.
Yeah, that one goes boom.
And it worked in his favor because he didn't get nommed. Then we have Corey Wurtenberger. He's 21, youngest person on the season, and I believe youngest to ever play. He's from Weston, Florida. He's a college student. And most notable thing about him is that he's Zach from Survivor's brother.
And he's the best debater in the entire world.
That too. And his face 9, and he has a face that's a 9 and a body that's a 6.
Face 9, body 6.
According to him, which I thought was a wild take. But I love the confidence.
I think he said he was 145 pounds, 5'7".
Yeah, something like that.
We love it. Someone cross-check his Hinge profile and see if these are all adding up.
I know, right? He is exactly what you expect from a 21-year-old little college student.
Yeah.
Like, so excited to play Big Brother.
5'7", 140 pounds, face 9, body 6, IQ through the roof. I think I'm in pretty good shape for this game. And I think you all will see.
I'm excited for Corey. He's gotten mixed reactions, I think. A lot of people just like him because they liked Zach on Survivor, even though Zach was only there for like a hot second.
Yeah.
So we'll see how he does. And then we have Felicia Cannon. She's 63. I believe the oldest female to ever play. She's from Tacoma, Washington, which I noticed a lot of people are from Washington area, but like don't live there anymore. So I feel like there could be some connections for her.
Which Washington?
There. Washington, the state.
Okay.
Like, where Seattle is.
Yeah, never mind.
Tacoma, Washington, but she currently resides in Kennesaw, Georgia. She's a real estate agent.
Only for the last 3 years.
But yeah, she was military. She did, like, a whole bunch of stuff previously.
Yeah, she said, like, bachelor's at 45, master's at, like, 55 or something crazy like that.
I mean, Felicia's a beast in my eyes.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see her play. Again, I'm not excited that she's nommed first because... obviously, it's really easy to take out the older players, and with her automatically going up on the block, it makes it easier, I feel like, for them to do it and not feel as badly as if somebody was to nominate you because you're the oldest person. So we'll see. But I don't know. I have hopes for Felicia, and I would like to see her and Suri team up.
I thought you were going to say in pants.
That too. No, actually, I'm here for the free-flowing situation chance going on. And then Haysom Gueli, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name.
Can't listen to that man laugh.
Oh, God. He was in the intro package. It was when he got into the house. He's loud as fuck. He's 45, so same age as Bowie, we presume, if that's her actual age. He's from Minneapolis, Minnesota, but he currently resides in Seattle, Washington, so another Washington person. He's a geriatric physician. Honestly, my first impression of him was that he seems very aloof and I feel like could be easily persuaded, but he's also must be a pretty smart guy if he's a physician. So who knows, maybe he's book smart, not street smart type of person.
Yeah, I'm getting that read. As a book smart, not street smart person myself.
Also, I did not see the burlesque thing coming.
No.
Based on what I had seen prior to the premiere, I had heard his voice before and I was like, okay, that's a gay man. But then when he was in the episode and they were showing all of his like burlesque cabaret stuff, I was like, okay, Isom, I see you. Then we have Izzy Gleicher, something like that, 32. She's from New York City. She's a professional flutist?
Flutie.
Maybe? Don't know.
Fluter.
There's some discourse on how you're supposed to pronounce it. I probably should have paid attention to what she said in the episode. I feel like she said flutist now that I think about it, but I could be wrong. I'm not quite sure what to make of her yet. In the episode, I got the impression that she was going to annoy me really fast, but we'll get into some feed stuff later. And I feel like maybe my perception has changed a bit.
I knew we always have the opposite reaction to people because I put her at the top of my list immediately. I was like, I'm obsessed with her. I want her to win.
I just am afraid, and I think you said it during the episode, I'm afraid she'll have the Britney effect where like I will... get very annoyed with her very fast.
Yeah.
And like want to root for her but can't.
But also Brittany had nothing to back up her obnoxious personality. This like play true. The game well and then I'll care more.
This is true.
But yeah, I really liked Izzy right off the bat, but we'll see. She could
go either way.
Yeah. She can either go Johnny Mac or you can go Brittini.
Yeah. Johnny Mac. Ugh.
You want to go Johnny Mac.
I mean, if there is an 18th house guest, let's hope. It's probably going to be a guy. So hopefully it's Johnny Mac. Then we have Jag Baines. He's 25. He's from OMAC, Washington, another Washington person. He's a truck company owner. Another one, like, not super strong opinions about him yet. He talked a lot about how he's the first Sikh to ever play U.S. Big Brother, so that's pretty cool.
Mm.
But, yeah, not too much on him in particular that I picked up on during the premiere.
Yeah, like his strategy, going in goofy and acting like he's not, as he said, quote unquote, a genius.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we haven't seen the transcripts to back it up, but he thinks quite highly of himself. But I like that strategy of going in as kind of the underdog and playing a more stealth, like, strategic game.
Yeah, we'll see if he can do it, though, because I feel like you and I both said, like, nobody's going to think you're dumb.
Yeah, and you have other, I think, first-generation Americans in the house where we were saying, like, a lot of it's probably a stereotype a lot of the time, but yeah. Often if you're, like, a first-generation, you are putting in the time and effort into getting out of America what you want to and to, like, respect your parents in that way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can't come in and say something like that and then expect people to be like, I'm just a truck driver.
Yeah,
like, I don't even know what if he had a cover story, if he's saying he owns a business or if he's saying he just, like, drives trucks or what. But
yeah, I can't remember. He's one of those jack-of-all-trades people that I think has a couple jobs. So I think he's one of the ones that's, like, using a different job that he actually does and saying it's his real job and not saying he owns his own company.
Yeah, because Blue and America both said that they're first generation. I think Blue came from South Korea.
And America was,
I forget what she said.
A Spanish-speaking country. I don't remember which, though. And then Kirsten is originally from Dominica.
Oh, yeah. She did say that.
So they've got a lot of first-gen house guests, which is cool.
I'm like, you can keep it under wraps. Like, no one, you don't need to share that. But I'm like, I feel like the more people in the house that have similar backgrounds, the more you're going to connect with those people and share, like, shared experiences. And people are going to be like, you went to some nice-ass college and you're way smarter than you're letting on.
And it's true. I mean, I feel like out of the people in the house, they definitely seem like the smartest, like, just in terms of schooling and, like, their jobs and stuff, which obviously is not always an indicator of how smart someone is, but on paper, it seems like.
I'm sure the barrister.
True.
That's why she's not sharing that.
Mm-hmm. She has so many lies to keep up with, but again, she's been lying about her age for years, supposedly, so maybe she'll be good at it. I don't know about the whole lying about things. Like, I get it to a degree, but I also don't think... There are certain things, yes, you should 100% lie about, but in the grand scheme of things, no one's really going to care how old you are. No one's really going to care what you do for work. Yeah, if you're an undercover fucking cop like Derek, you don't want to tell people that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, all this other
stuff... But even then, when you share it, I guess you just take away your own power. I'm like, when you share it, no one's going to vote you out solely because of that, because you're basically like, I just told you, and now I can't, like, sneak around.
Yeah. And I would just be so bad at keeping my cover story up. Like, the only way I feel it works is for people like Kirsten, who is going to talk about her swimwear.
Yeah.
How she's a swimwear designer, which is true.
So it worked for Donnie when he didn't act like a Marine.
This is true.
Even though he was a
Donnie,
Navy SEAL.
You didn't need to do that. Sorry. Next up, we have Jared Fields. He's 25. He's from Norwalk, Connecticut. He's an exterminator. And he's Sari's son, as we've said a million of times on this podcast so far. Just from the premiere, not too many strong opinions on Jared either. Again, I was just rooting for him because he had the Sari connection, but otherwise, like, seemed like a fun-loving dude. And
he's going to play the game, which I like.
Yeah.
He's not there to just, like, hang out.
I could see him being a little bit, like, I don't know. I get the impression that he's not a huge fan of the show and maybe doesn't really understand how the social game works, but I think he'll be adaptable and pick it up quickly.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Then we have Kirsten Elwin, 25. She's originally from Orlando, Florida, via Dominica, and she currently resides in Houston, Texas. She's the molecular biologist, but she's telling everybody she's a swimwear designer, which is a partial truth. Again, not much on her, aside from the fact that she's gorgeous. That was really all that I got out of her short.
Yeah, I would put her in my top three. Just, I don't know, something about her I want to root for.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen too much.
I know. I feel like, assuming she makes it past this week, which I think she will based on what I've seen so far, which isn't much, I'm hopeful that she goes further. And then we have Luke Valentine, aka Kyle 2.0.
Yes.
He's 30 years old. He's from Weston, Florida, currently resides in Coral Springs, Florida. We didn't need that info. It just say you're from Florida. Nobody knows where that is. He's an illustrator, and yeah, my first impression was that he's Kyle all grown up, and I saw a tweet, if you've seen the Barbie movie, that he would be the first one to create the, turn the Big Brother house into the Mojo Dojo Casa house, yes. Which I felt was true when I saw his cast photo, but then when I saw him enter the house, I was like, maybe, maybe not, I don't know. He sort of fits the Ken thing, but
yeah, this
not
Ken's
entirely.
Job is draw.
This yeah, this Ken's job is art. I really was hoping he was gonna get pulled into the nether region.
I know, she really was cheering for it. We all were.
Which I feel bad about because I don't dislike Luke yet. But I don't know, I just didn't want to see any of the others get sucked in. Then we had Matt Klotz. He's 27.
Ugh, terrible last name.
Yeah. It's also K-L-O-T-Z. I feel like, is that real? Like, but also, why would you choose that?
Is anyone fact-checking these applications? 45 Klotz?
I know. He is from Cameron Park, California, but currently resides in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He is a Deaflympics gold medalist. And the one thing that I picked up about him preseason was that he has a 99% proficiency in reading lips, which is cool.
Yeah.
But he also can't hear people that well, so I don't know how much that'll help him. I'm a little bit worried, like, when they have to have whispered conversations, he might not realize, like, how loud he's being or be able to hear people that well. I guess I haven't seen enough from him to know that yet, but...
Yeah, you got to get a good ally, like, right up front that can, I don't know, guide you.
Help
assuming
you
that he hasn't already practiced.
Yeah. We'll get into him a little bit more when we talk about feed stuff, but I'm curious about him. I wouldn't say I'm rooting for him, but I'm curious.
Same.
Then we have Nicole Hayes. She's 30. Also, she's going by Mimi, according to what I've seen on feeds, which is great because it's just easier than
Nicole. A+ Mimi.
She's from St. Louis, Missouri, but currently resides in Upper Marlboro. I hate that word. Maryland. She's a political consultant. I feel like we kind of talked a little bit more about her already, but yeah, I'm intrigued by her. I think she's either going to be really good at Big Brother or she's going to play too hard too fast and get herself in trouble early.
Yep.
Then we have Red Utley. He's 37. He's from Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Utley.
Red Utley from Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
That's actually exactly what he sounded like when he was doing his, I believe he called them Redisms.
Yes. His,
something about a gator and a gutter.
Jillbilly. Red.
Hey, it is coming down right here. I call this a Class A frog strangler. I'm Red, and I'm from the Smoky Mountains, East Tennessee. I'm fine as a frog hair, split four ways on a Friday. That's a Redism right there. Or busier than a skeeter at a nudist colony. Hanging in there like a hair in a biscuit. I mean, I could just keep going for days.
He's in sales. Again, I'm going to compare him to other people. I get a mix of Donnie and Frenchie, but more Frenchie vibes, which scares me a little bit.
We're leaning in the Frenchie territory.
But I could see why they cast him. He is a personality, that's for sure.
Yeah, we are speculating on how he's going to work with that beard during comps. Like, will we see a lot of braids?
I know. He's going to have to find somebody who can
maybe
help him
out with it. Maybe a beard net.
A beard net would be interesting.
It just kind of hammocks close to the chin.
What season was it where somebody had to shave their head? I think it's been more than once. It was one of the early, early seasons where there was a punishment where you had to shave your head.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I watched that season.
I wonder if he would ever shave his head and or his beard for Big Brother.
Probably, because he had to do it for the military. So I'm sure he loves it, but yeah. Like, I feel like he probably isn't as, I don't know.
It's not as precious. Or it's more precious because he couldn't have hair for a while.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't have any, like, really polarizing thoughts about him now. I feel strongly that I will later, so
yeah,
you know.
He's definitely one of those ones you're either gonna love him or hate him. And last but certainly not least, we have Riley Smedley. She's 24. She's from Portland, Maine, but currently lives in Nashville, Tennessee. She's a bartender, and I just see Raven when I see her, like, in the way she looks and also the way she acts.
Yeah, I never would have made the parallel myself, but once you said it, I was like, oh my god.
I'm, like, a little bit scared, but also, we both said it when we were watching the episode, like, she gives Raven vibes, but hopefully she's going to give us what we wanted from Raven versus what we got.
Yeah.
Like,
give the audience what they want and not Matt what he wants.
Right, and Matt and his cereal. Funny because there is a Matt in season two. I guess looks-wise, she could also be sort of like a mix of Christy and Raven with like the blonde hair situation. Yeah. And I could also see her being like a weird spiritual earthy crunchy
manifest
vibe.
Manifest it.
Yeah, like manifest the truth, bro. but I'm curious. I hope that I like her, but I have a feeling I won't. I guess we'll see. So we can quickly touch on feeds. If you don't want any spoilers, now's the time to jump off. Although I will say there aren't any like major competition spoilers at this point. I only literally watched like an hour and 15 minutes of feeds. So I didn't get too much. But what I did get, I think the main thing was that Corey was already back when I turned feeds on. So he was gone for less than 3 hours from the rest of the house guests.
So I think my theory is right and he played a game.
And like got something?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Or didn't explain your theory?
Because we didn't know what happened when you went to the nether region,
mm-hmm.
other than you could potentially contract something.
He comes out and he's like, they gave me gonorrhea.
Yeah. So we were speculating, like, what could happen down there. Because, like, why take someone away from the rest of the group? Like, I guess you could say it's just a bit of a punishment not to have some face-to-face time for a little bit while everyone
but
else is mingling.
Is the question.
But, like, he didn't really deserve more punishment than someone else.
Mm-hmm.
When they were all up for noms. So my only thought process was, okay, maybe they're going to offer him some sort of competition, whether it's just like, okay, here's a luxury like item you can play for, but as a result, like this thing's gonna happen this week and you're gonna be like responsible for it.
They're big on the risk reward thing where it's like, take this risk, you might get a reward, but also you or others could suffer, kind mm-hmm. of thing. I saw somebody tweet and they were like, I swear to God, if Corey comes click clacking out of that nether region with glittery loafers following him or something, like basically saying they didn't want Frankie to be like,
oh,
like, because then somebody,
oh yeah, you get to like put someone into the game,
like choose from the three people, were like, if he has to choose between Danielle, Brittany, and Frankie or whatever. Which, give Corey some respect. I don't think he would choose Frankie out of those three.
His reaction to Danielle, they had his little, like, face up there when they were playing the laser skit, and he seemed like he knew who she was. Like,
yeah.
I think if you're going to bring someone in, bring in Frankie. I'm not bringing in Brittany or Danielle. I don't want to play against them.
I guess that's true. I didn't think of it from that. Like, I think if I were...
Unless you want an ally.
If I were in there, I probably would be so starstruck that I would pick Danielle because I would be excited.
Yeah.
But then I would immediately have to align myself.
Unless you think Danielle's going to like you. Yeah. I'm like, little Corey's got a better chance with Frankie than Brittany or Danielle.
Yeah,
they're
that's
ruthless.
Fair.
They're getting in there and be like, thanks, face of four, body of four.
See, I would be screwed because I'm not even in the house and I was already like in like, oh my God, Danielle, I'm starstruck mode.
I mean, if you're telling me it's Dan, Will, and someone else, I'm probably going to make a grave mistake.
Oh, I don't know who I would pick between those two. I think I'd be too scared to pick Dan, but also I knew the fans would hate me if I didn't. I would be more concerned
actually,
about what the fans
that's
would
true.
Think.
I can't even think about that. You're adding a layer of complexity I wasn't ready for.
Like if I didn't pick Danielle or Brittany, I feel like everyone would be so pissed at me if I picked Frankie.
Yeah.
The other thing that I picked up on feeds was that Izzy does know that Jared is Ceri's son, but I'm getting the impression that no one else knows yet.
Yep.
Which you had said you were like, there's no way anyone's going to pick up on that. And I was like, no, they're going to figure it out right away. So we'll see if Izzy is loyal and keeps the secret or not.
She seems like a chatterbox. I like her so far, but that's a big secret.
Well, that was kind of what I was saying earlier where I was like, her perception changed a bit when I saw her on feeds. She was talking to Kirsten a little bit one-on-one, and it seemed like they had a little bit of a bond. And she came and Izzy came off really like sweet and comforting and just like a good listener, which I didn't expect. And I think listening in the Big Brother house is much more important than talking.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully she continues with that.
It's a smart alliance. Were they kind of hanging out in the house? I guess everyone's probably hanging out all together.
Yeah,
you wouldn't expect Izzy and Jared.
It was Izzy and Kirsten.
Oh.
And they split off. Like, because Kirsten was like, oh, did you unpack your stuff already? And Izzy was like, yeah. And Kirsten was like, oh, I'm going to unpack myself. You want to hang out with me, like, so I'm not alone. So they were in the room together, but they had a good reason why they were, like, separate from the group. And eventually Felicia and Sari came in, and they were all kind of chatting, and then Red, like, went in too. So they weren't completely alone, but they had a conversation without solidifying anything, saying, like, oh, my God, immediately when we saw each other, like, we just knew. Like, we had a vibe. We felt like we clicked. So Kirsten's doing well. I think there is an alliance that formed that she's a part of. There was a five when I first turned on feeds in the bathroom, which is wild because it's been like a few hours and there was already an alliance being formed. Also, they were screaming about it and everyone else was in the living room. So I'm like, what are you doing? I guess you could just chalk it up to like excitement.
Yeah,
and, like,
but still.
They did a whole like hands in the middle situation. It was Luke, Kirsten, Matt, and I can't remember who the other two were.
I'm sorry, unsubscribe.
Yeah, I'm not here for it.
I don't think it's going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It seemed just like we're so excited. Somebody was like doing an alliance and then they just all ran with it.
Did they name it? It's good for
Kirsten though. I think they did. It was the something five, but I believe it got cut off because it was right when feed started.
Gotcha.
So it was like people were speculating on what the five
name was. Maybe it's the click five.
It
could just be.
Just a girl I'm looking
for. Sing it. No, thank you. No, but I did see a tweet because I don't know anything about Sari.
Mm-hmm.
And how she is either known for wanting to or having done an all-girls alliance.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I do like that. And Kirsten had mentioned in her little, like, at-home clip.
And usually I'm not here for all-girls alliances, and it still makes me nervous. But if any cast was going to do it, I think it would be this one. I feel like these girls are girls, it seems like. And that's usually the problem, is they always bring in at least one or two that... you think it's a girl's girl, and then they turn out
she ain't a girl's girl. Also, very easy to do an all-girls alliance when there are no really attractive men in the house.
This is another
temptation
situation.
Temptation is low this season.
I'm like, they're not
You've got Jared.
Ugly, but I'm like...
You can babysit Corey.
Yeah, I don't know. Matt is okay looking. Eh. I mean, he's got a body, but like... The face is just not there for me. I don't know.
So you're saying body 9, face 6.
Yeah, he's the opposite of Corey. So maybe they should team up. Maybe they can work something out.
Balance the scales.
Yeah. Speaking of Matt, I did see him talking to Kirsten, and I got the impression that he was having a hard time hearing her / reading her lips.
Oh, yeah, the man wouldn't know what I was saying ever. I mumble and I barely move my mouth.
It was hard to watch just because... I know it's just going to be difficult for him all the whole time because they were alone.
So is he just like legally deaf, but he's just hard? Like, I don't know. I didn't see anything about, like, does he have like a cochlear implant?
He said when he takes out, he doesn't have implants. He has hearing aids.
Just regular hearing aids.
Okay. Because he can't have the implant for swimming.
Makes sense.
He said when he takes the hearing aids out, he can't hear anything. So, like, when he's swimming, he's completely deaf, which that screws me up because I always just thought hearing aids were only for people that could hear something, but apparently not.
I think they are. He must have, like, some functionality.
He said when he takes them out, he can't hear shit. So maybe he was just saying, like, I can't hear anything, and really he can hear a little bit.
Yeah, I'm very ignorant, too.
Yeah, I'm confused.
The scales of deafness.
How that works, but he said the thing he struggles with most is... Like, when he was in the room with everyone, he's like, I can't localize sound very well. So he's like, it's hard for me to know who's talking. And, like, I rely so much on lip reading that it's easier to have a one-on-one conversation because you can just look at that person versus if you're in a room and multiple people are talking, you're kind of having to play, like, tennis a bit and, like, bounce between.
You kind of need a floater strategy. Like, I don't want to say, like, I'm sure you can make it work, but I wonder if laying low and, like, harvesting those relationships so that later on there's less people in the house and you can like have more meaningful conversations.
Yeah, and it just will get hopefully for him get easier as more people leave. Less and like background noise.
Everyone's excited right now. I have a feeling that people will adapt to be like more accommodating.
Yeah.
Once they've had like more conversations with him about it and like what works and doesn't work for him.
Yeah. Which they could also use it against him, which would be shitty, but also like it's Big Brother. So your disadvantages become someone else's advantages.
Yeah. I just feel like this group, I don't know.
They probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
But who knows? He also mentioned that, like, when he was in the backyard, he couldn't hear anything. He was like, I could hear, he's like, there were planes going above. Like, it was like Julie's voice. It was this and that. And he was like, it was just all jumbled. He was like, it was hard to, like, separate the sounds.
Wow.
So we'll see how it goes. But he also was talking up his physicality a lot. And I was like, he needs to take a note from Sari, because it, people that have seen her on other shows know that she's good at, even though she's intimidating because people know she's been on Survivor and is like great at gameplay and stuff, she's really good at making herself unassuming and listening. She'll be engaging, but not take over conversations.
Yep.
Unless someone asks her about herself. But he was very much talking up, like, he's training for the Olympics right now. Not the Deaflympics, like the, I don't want to say the actual Olympics, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The upcoming Olympics. And he was talking about how he has a really strict training schedule and that he sacrificed a lot to come into the Big Brother house because he doesn't have like the right pool and the right equipment and all this stuff. But he was really talking a lot about his strength and how physical he is. And obviously, like, yeah, gas yourself up, but don't do it so much that you're going to paint yourself as a physical threat.
Yeah.
Even more than you already seem like. It's a weird thing to do. And I think he probably just didn't know what else to talk about. But he just kept, he talked about it with Kirsten, he talked about it with Hysam, he talked about it with someone else.
It's probably just so much of his life that he doesn't even, like, notice.
Yeah.
It's just like, it seems normal. I work a lot, so I talk about work.
Yeah, it seems normal to him probably, yeah. But.
Interesting.
Yeah, those are the main things I picked up on. I did not see, apparently there was a conversation between Sari and Jared alone, which I didn't see, but I saw a quick clip on Twitter. She was already coaching him. She was like, they were like, oh, we love to see like Momager in action. And it was her basically being like, I overheard you having a conversation with Kirsten and I heard you say, oh, but we'll catch up and talk about this later. And she was like, don't say that. Nobody else needs to know that you guys are talking later. She was like, you said that in front of a whole group of people. Like, they're gonna think you're working together. She's like, obviously it's not a big thing, but she's like, I wanted to point it out to you because I saw it happen. She's like, you can't do stuff like that.
When I came out, I heard you say to, damn, what's her name, Kirsten, why don't, yeah, we'll talk later. Clean that up a little bit. Everybody don't got to know who you're talking to later. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be hearing that when I'm walking out the room. All right? Yeah. You're like, all right, and you walk away.
Yeah.
You don't have to say, we'll talk later. Because you letting everybody know, yeah,
we gonna go and talk.
Yeah, don't do it.
So it was just cool to see, like.
Ugh, I would love to be in his shoes.
I know, her little mom. But I also feel like, I don't know. It could. I'm worried about Jared. I feel like it's going to go sideways.
Oh, it's for sure going to go sideways. It's just like, do you make it long enough that you make yourself invaluable when it blows up? I don't know.
The funniest tweet that I saw was, Sari has the ability to do the funniest thing right now, which is evict her son.
It would be so funny.
Also, like, I mean, I don't know how strong her bond is with her kid. I'm sure it's very strong. But, like, from what I know about Sari, I could see her doing it.
So funny.
Maybe not first week, but, like, down the line, if she knew that only one of them was going to make it to the end, I could see her either sacrificing herself or getting him the hell out of there.
Yeah, and if you know you're going to win, you, I don't know. Well, I wonder how that money splitting works when it's relative.
I know, true. I mean, I guess technically, like, he would be somebody to inherit her fortune in the future. So I don't know that they can really say much about that. But we'll see. I'm excited about this season. I like this cast so far. Usually I feel like I have people right off the bat that I hate and people right off the bat that I love. And I don't feel that way right now.
Yeah. I do feel like more strongly about certain people, but there's no one that I'm like totally ruling out. It's strange to have four noms and like not have one that I would want to see go.
Yep.
But
I'm glad they didn't do a night one eviction. But I'm also torn because sometimes when they don't do night one evictions, I become attached to all of the house guests and I don't want to see anyone go.
Yeah, it's easier to just watch a stranger go out the door.
So, I don't know. I'm going to be sad probably no matter who it is.
And we may still have our 18th house guest.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a theory about it or something?
I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, I heard there's 18 beds.
There is 18 beds.
But maybe there's just always been 18 beds.
Right.
Or spots in a bed. I think all 18 are already in the house.
There's someone hiding.
I think that Christian's hair, Bertha, is its own player.
Oh my gosh, Bertha's going to come in.
That's my theory.
Imagine.
Because Bertha's thicker than barbecue sauce, I think is what he said.
That is an exact quote. Thicker than barbecue sauce.
But no, for real, I do want to know what's going on with this 18th spot. I mean, like, is it just because beds are divisible by two, so you can never have 17 beds without a twin, which I don't think they have?
No, I think they're all full.
So I'm like,
I don't know. Are they all twins? I don't think so. Yeah. There's no way they have 18 individual beds in there.
No. I think they're all...
Some of the rooms might have twins, but I think most are false.
Oh. Well, either way, it would be cool to see someone else get bought back in. And now I'm into this idea that it happened in the nether regions.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm so curious to see what happened with Corey in there. I'm for the 18th house guest thing. A lot of people are like, we don't need, like, there's too many twists from the beginning.
I love a twist. Everyone on Twitter is like, let Julie know that we don't need twists. I'm like, ooh, speak for yourself.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That's the best part.
I'm 50-50. Certain twists, I'm like, hell yeah. Other times, I'm like, you're just ruining it. Like, just let me have my standard Big Brother.
Yeah.
But I liked so far, I like the twists they've done. And I have seen a lot of people theorizing that the 18th house guest is not going to be a returning player because in a lot of their press releases, they said all new house guests. And technically, Ceree's not a returner.
Yeah.
Since she was on a different show. So
maybe it's Zach.
Maybe they could bring in Zach. They could bring Zach from Survivor.
That'd be too perfect. They fucking pull Corey under and it's his brother.
Uh-huh. He's also been active on Twitter, which, like, you could fake that, but I feel like it's probably not him.
Yeah.
They could bring in someone from The Challenge. They could bring in someone from Amazing Race. Although, I feel like most of those shows pull from
the
other shows. Way. So it's hard to do that kind of thing. So we'll see. But yeah, I have a strong feeling that there is going to be an 18th house guest, especially because there's 100 fucking days. So like...
There's 104 days of summer vacation. Sorry. But yeah, no, that's a long ass season. So I hope there's another one. Or like 16 different like buybacks.
I know. That'll be fun. I love a buyback, especially when it's somebody who like... You really didn't want to see go out.
Who was that girl with that puzzle?
Oh,
I forgot her name. Kelsey?
Caitlin.
Oof.
Ugh. That was so embarrassing.
So fucking funny.
So but yeah,
I would live for one of those.
Uh-huh.
It's just the stakes of those competitions are almost better than watching like a veto for some reason.
Yeah.
I guess because like...
It's do or die.
Yeah. I do enjoy watching.
I think that's all we've got. Anything else?
No. I think that about covers it. I'm most intrigued to see what absolute horrors Corey saw.
In the nether region.
Yeah. Who do you want to win HOH on Sunday?
Ooh. I want to say Ceree, but I'm not going to say that because that's too predictable and like perfect. And I feel like we'll paint a target.
I'm going to go Mimi. I want someone that like I don't mind watching. But that's not on, like, my top three list right now because I don't want anyone that I like to have power too early on.
Yeah.
But I think Mimi would be, like, maybe strategic with it.
I feel like Riley would be absolute chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Izzy, maybe? I don't know.
I know. I like Izzy too much till I want her to go up.
Yeah.
But I guess she's nice enough that she could probably field it. But uh-huh. I want someone who's, like, or maybe someone who's dumb enough to make moves.
Red.
Yeah. I was literally, like, Frankie. Or Frenchie. Red or, like, Matt.
Yeah, Matt would be so lost, I think. He's giving Surfer big dummy vibes so far, so I'm scared. America would be cool.
Yeah, but I like her. So
yeah, don't you don't want her to... Because usually first HOH is a good thing, but at this point, I don't really know.
I don't know if I'd
it
want...
It matters.
But there's just so many twists right now.
Yeah.
I'd be scared.
So we'll see. I guess the next time you'll hear from us will be after the first live eviction on Thursday, so hopefully we figure out what the fuck Corey was up to. And maybe we'll have an 18th house guest by then.
Exciting stuff.
Well, I guess technically maybe they could be the 17th if someone goes home, but...
Facts.
We shall see.
Well, they bring two people back in.
Are they bringing...
Okay, I'll stop.
Three? They bring in Danielle, yeah. Brittany, and Frankie. They were like, we faked you out with Ceree. Get them in. Okay. We'll catch you next time.
Doodles.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed.
To join in on the discussion, use the hashtag OBrotherPodcast on social media, and you can find me at It's Me Breely everywhere.
And you can find me at Christina Jascott.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
See you later.